When I got married, I knew that I wanted to be the one who was doing the majority of cooking in my family. I just saw so much value in like taking care of my home and I don't know, like being a homemaker and all of that. But I did not pride myself on like being the best at that or having the best skills. But honestly, something that made it very easy, and this is huge shout out to my husband, Dave, because he's been extremely gracious in this area, but he came from a family where the cooking was pretty simple. And then he was a bachelor for several years. I mean, a bachelor, like living on his own for several years. And his meals sometimes were just like a big pile of like sauteed ground beef. And that was like great for him.
No veggies.
No sides. As bachelors do, you know, some of them just eat very, very simply. So me having these ambitions to want to take care of him, but then him having like very low expectations actually made for a really great situation for us because basically anything I make for Dave, he's like compliments all over the place. He's like, this is so great because genuinely it is a huge step up from, especially his bachelor days, but just like as his family, they ate very, very simply. So it's been a good experience, but I will say that in my own like heart and in my own self, it's something I want to do for my family. Now I have two kids as well. I want to cook for them, but it doesn't come super naturally to me. And I will say, like, if I'm just being totally honest, I really don't love it. I'm not like, what am I going to make today? Am I going to make sourdough bread? Like, I am not a like that at all. So it has been a challenge and something that I've had to remember, like, why do I do this? So that was kind of my experience.
Oh, goodness. Well, growing up, neither of us, I mean, we're sisters. We grew up in the same household. Neither of us loved cooking. When we were young, like we were not the ones like itching to get into the kitchen. Like, I just can't wait to try this new recipe.
No.
Like, I don't honestly think I cooked much at all until Zach and I were actually dating and he would come over to the house. Do you remember that? After work.
Yes.
And he would swing by and I would make just like dinner for the two of us.
Yeah.
And that was my first time. Like, I remember that season of like, what am I going to make?
I remember that.
How do I do this? Like, I grew, there are eight kids in our family. Yes. So like our mom would make huge meals. And even our mom will admit, she's not like, she doesn't enjoy cooking as like an enjoyable activity. And I don't know if we just inherited that from her. Our other sisters like it way more than us.
I know.
And like, they're really good at it.
So like, our mom did it faithfully for many years, but she'll be the first to admit, like once the younger girls took over, she was like, hallelujah.
Yeah. And that's okay. Like, we're going to get into this, but if you're someone listening and you're like, oh, I love cooking. It's like my passion, recipes, you know, like we know people like that.
Yeah.
We're related to people like that. And there's just so much enjoyment. Like, that is wonderful and awesome. But then there are some of you who are more like us where you're like, I don't really love it, but eating is an essential part of life. And I want to bless my family in this way. I want to serve my family in this way. And so I do it because of those reasons.
Yeah.
And I know for me getting married, I will say honestly, like, I didn't realize how much time meal planning, grocery shopping, like on a budget, you're trying to do it all on a budget and you're trying to be somewhat creative, like not just make the same spaghetti every single night, you know? And like, but how do I do this on a budget? And I just remember it was way harder than I thought.
It is hard.
And I remember thinking like, why does everyone act like this is just such a normal part of everyday life?
It's hard.
This is taking me so much time. So yes, even from the beginning for me, I feel like I had to go through a big learning curve and something hilariously different about our backgrounds. Not our backgrounds, but our husband's backgrounds.
Very.
Is that my husband grew up in a family where his mom loved cooking and loved the creativity of cooking and flavors and complicated recipes. Like, she just enjoyed it. And to this day, she still does.
Pulls out every pot and pan.
Yeah. I have learned so much about like hospitality and cooking, like from her, because she's just so passionate about it. And she does a beautiful job. Like, she loves making delicious, beautifully presented food for her family. And they all love it and appreciate that about her. But that's the background my husband came from. And so now here we are getting married and I'm like, like, he's used to delicious sauteed fish and, you know, things that are
all the sides that go with it, all the pairings.
Yes, like every meal would have at least, you know, multiple sides with the bread. And it wasn't just like a meat and a veggie. Like, it was, you know, with the soup and.
Okay. And another background that's very different is like, my husband had not traveled extensively at all and yours had.
Yeah.
So just even the cultural experiences and exposure to different meals and fine dining was very different.
So I...
the pressure was on.
He and Zach never put this pressure on me. I have to say that up front.
Yeah.
He was never like, oh, where's the fifth course? I mean, he never once. But I still felt... I just put it on myself. Like, yeah, well, this is what he's used to. I mean, his mom's this incredible woman. And yeah. She's like an amazing chef. And here I am, like, trying to, like, do my best. But I feel like I'm kind of scraping by. I'm just trying to figure out how to meal plan. And so I did put that pressure on myself. Yeah. I think in unreasonable ways of, like, it has to be so beautiful and so elaborate. And so the early days of cooking for me and marriage were stressful.
Yeah.
But something I wish I, like, if I could go back, I think I would have probably maybe spent a little more time in my single years giving thought to this.
Really?
Maybe. I don't know for sure because I don't enjoy it. So I didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
But like, I just think of if I had had a little more experience with just even understanding how to cook chicken well, or I think it could have been a great benefit to my husband in our meals. I don't know. But it wasn't, even to this day, it's still not something that I love doing. But yeah. Just the fact that we've been married for almost 13 years, I've done wow. it every day for a lot of time.
Yeah.
So I've grown a lot in it, but it's still to this day something that I have to do. I have to choose to do out of a heart to serve and care for my family. And I think there are tremendous benefits for us as women to care and love and serve our family in this way that have been lost
totally
in society. But for me, very much, that's at the heart of like, Lord, help me to do this to be a blessing to my family.
Yeah. And so how do we think about this like as Christian women? So why are we talking about cooking? Why does this matter? And we'll get into it. But like the scripture actually has a lot to say about our role as women, our role as wives. And if you're single and you're like, I want to be a wife someday, like definitely tune in, listen, because you can learn a lot. But like the Bible does have some specifics about men and about women and how we can love our families well and live out his design for us well. I mean, obviously something that we know in culture is we are trying to blur these lines and become like as neutral. Like there are no roles. There are no differences. Everyone just be whatever you want to be, feel whatever you want to feel. It's all about just kind of like doing what you want to do. But as Christian women, we have a different standard, a different source, a different foundation that we live by. And that's the word of God. Mm-hmm. And you might be like, okay, cooking, how does that tie into this? Well, as we're going to see, the Bible has a lot to say about looking well to the way of your household, taking care of your family, taking care of your kids, focusing on loving them well, making them a priority. And, you know, the facts of life, you gotta eat. You gotta eat if you wanna grow, if you wanna be healthy, if you wanna be able to have energy, you know, like food is that source. Mm-hmm. And so food is actually a hugely important part of our life. And there are so many other benefits that surround food that are apart from even eating that we're gonna get into. So if you're someone like me, someone like Kristen, and you're like, I don't enjoy cooking, I hope that by the end of this conversation, as a Christian woman, you'll see like, wow, the Bible actually has a lot to say about this. And this is something to get excited about, not something I'm just going to have to endure or hope I marry a man who just loves to cook. I mean, you know, whatever, but
which
like,
it's okay too.
Yeah. But just like, wow, this is, there's actually a much bigger gospel picture going on here surrounding food, surrounding hospitality, surrounding the dinner table, the breakfast table, whatever that looks like for you. And so I think you're going to be really inspired just as I have been. And these are the reasons both Kristen and I choose to make this a priority, even though it doesn't come supernaturally.
Right. Well, and I will say like, it is okay if your husband also enjoys this. Like my husband loves, I would say he actually loves cooking more than me.
Like grilling Zach, and
but
right.
on the, yeah, grilling, mainly smoking meats. But even in the kitchen, like he's super into cast irons and like, you know, like his passion for cast iron and like the way he cleans them and prepares them and stores them and like the way he prepares meals on them and sautés meats and different things. Like he loves making sauces. So I would say his interest in making complex food and like delicious food is even more of an interest for him than even for me. But I'm the one choosing for the good of our family to make it a priority because I'm the one home with the kids by choice. We homeschool.
Yeah.
I'm the one doing the meal planning and prepping. Zach will be involved in that in ways like, you know, he'll say, oh, hey, babe, could we cook some ribs this weekend? Or, you know, he has ideas. I'm like, totally. So I'll get the meat, you know, he'll cook it for certain meals and it's awesome. But for the most part, I take the lead in the meal planning, the prepping, like keeping the budget
the
shopping, going to the store, organizing the groceries at home, and making the majority of the meals, especially when it comes to breakfast, lunches. Like I pretty much exclusively make those most of the dinners, aside from like the times he'll do a meat kind of thing like that, or like delicious queso he made the other night. It was so good. But so it's okay. Like we're not saying, only the woman biblically can be in the kitchen.
Yes. Well, and that's a difference for like Dave and I compared to y'all. Yes. Dave actually, which we are very simple people in many ways. So we eat the same thing for breakfast every single morning. So he actually, Dave actually wakes up and makes breakfast every single morning.
See, and that's great.
So, cause it's like a way I find like as the woman, like staying home with the kids, like that's what we've chosen. Yeah. And I stay home with the kids. I take care of them. I'm full time with them. He does the financial providing for our family. And I mean, if you know me, I love to like have my own entrepreneurial endeavors, but there's no pressure on that. Like for me, my priority is my kids and my family. But something that Dave and I have just learned that is a huge blessing to me is I can, if I can have like a little bit of a slower early morning, like not right up when the kids are up, because then it's going to be like full time with them. So Dave kind of like gets up with the kids. He makes breakfast. We keep it super simple, like eggs and cheese and sausage toast. He makes coffee, and that's kind of all ready when I come out. And then I handle like lunches and dinners, snacks, anything like that. But yeah, so there can, it can look different from family to family, and coming up with a routine that is like works well for you. Right. And there are certain meals where like the husband might be like, hey, this is really easy for me to make, and I would love to pitch in on Friday nights or do breakfast or whatever. And I think that's awesome when that happens. Yes.
So there can be a collaborative work. That's not what scripture doesn't say. It's like exclusively the woman in the kitchen only. But I will say in society, and you guys have seen this, you probably feel this too, there has been a movement of women, you know, the feminist movement, this liberation of women from the home, because the home in many ways has been viewed as like a lesser than having a career outside of the home. And so there has been intentional movements and messages saying like, you know, getting women out of the home or doing things that earn a paycheck, right? Like you're making dinner for your family. You're not earning a paycheck for that. I don't think no one's paying me for that. And so there is this mindset that a lot of us have bought into without even realizing it, that feels like, oh, well, I don't just want to be the brainless woman in the kitchen with the apron on cooking. Like that's not ambitious. That's not successful. That's not this independent woman that we see in society today. But as we look in God's word, we see a very different picture of what God values and God's structure for the family, for the husband, for the wife, for the home, and how these, the husband, the wife, the home, it's meant to work together in this beautiful way, a collaborative way. But we do see distinctions of things that God values differently for the man and the woman. And so society gets it wrong in this area. They diminish the home and devalue the things that a woman does in the home without pay. But in God's word, we see such a different picture. So that's another thing. As Christian women, as biblical women, we have to go to the word and really evaluate. Like, well, what does God say? What does he value? Am I taking my cues for a successful woman from culture, or am I taking them from God's word? In my heart, am I seeing value in the work that I'm doing within the home that no one else sees? My kids barely acknowledge it. You know, even maybe my husband sometimes, it's like, it feels brainless and mindless. And sure, like if you're standing there at the kitchen, you know, like scraping potatoes, like, okay, it might not be the most stimulating work ever. But again, going back to the heart of like, why do we value these things? Why do we pursue these things? So we want to take a look at God's word. And I think there's no better place to go than Proverbs 31. And Proverbs 31, specifically verse 27, I love this. It says, she, talking about the wife and the mom in Proverbs 31, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. So right there, I mean, we're pulling something from the middle of Proverbs, so we're going to give some more context. But just right off the bat, we see that a woman who fears the Lord, that's what all of Proverbs 31 is rooted in, this woman whose heart ultimately fears the Lord, she reverences and worships the Lord, and what she does ultimately is to glorify God and to serve her family. And one of the ways that she can do that is by looking well to the ways of her household. Again, something that is so lost in society today. But here's something really interesting I wanted to read from the ESV Study Bible, just to get a little bit of background on Proverbs 31, specifically verses 10 through 31, which talk about, which, you know, that whole passage of Proverbs 31. And it just talks about the woman of excellence and where this whole idea came from and what the purpose of this portion of Proverbs 31 is. So Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 is an alphabet of womanly excellence. So this wisdom poem, so it's a poem, many of you know that, is actually an acrostic in which each verse begins with the successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The poem begins and ends with mention of the woman's excellence. We see that in verse, starting in verse 10. The probable intention of putting this together with the acrostic pattern is to show that this woman's character runs the whole range of excellence. The woman is married, as expected in culture in that day, as many of us are today, and many of us will be if you're even single, thinking ahead to your future. And she is devoted to the well-being of her household. We see that in most of these verses, we see her devotion to the well-being of her household, to which she contributes by her participation in outside economic concerns. So she also, we see she plants a vineyard. She does other things. She also has economic concerns. Like she benefits her family in mm-hmm. many different ways. At the same time, she makes her home the center of ministry by giving generously to the poor and by instructing her children and household workers in true kindness. And neighbors may be included in this audience as well, they say. So as a result, her husband and her children enjoy their lot and honor her for her industry. This lofty portrait of excellence sets such a high standard that it can be depressing to godly women today until its purpose is understood. First, the woman embodies in all areas of life the full character of wisdom commended throughout this book. This shows that even though the concrete situations up to now have generally envisioned a cast of males, the teaching of the entire book is intended for all of God's people. Second, as with other character types, this profile is an ideal, and I think this is really important to remember. This isn't saying every woman must do every single thing exactly perfectly. It's an ideal. It's something we can shoot for as women. A particular example of full-scale virtue and wisdom toward which the faithful are willing to be molded. It is not expected that any one woman will look exactly like this in every respect. So just a little bit of background on Proverbs 31. And I just find that so helpful because it's showing us in Proverbs 31, this picture of a woman who is pursuing excellence. She's pursuing ministry within her home as something of value and something of importance, something that is God-honoring, something mm-hmm. that is rooted in her fear of the Lord for the good of her family. And a small piece of that, she did a lot of things, mm-hmm. but a small piece of that was the way that she cared for her family, preparing food, making food. And back then it was a lot harder than it was today. But we see that she looked well to the ways of her household. And that is something as modern Christian women, we can take some big cues from and go, wow, this is important to God.
Yeah. And we were just discussing actually like right before this, the whole idea, because I was like, well, she had like a household. She had people that were helping her. And then you were making some
great... She had servants. I hear that all the time. Like, well, if I had 10 servants, think of all the things I could get done. Yes.
Well, and you were saying like, just about like the opportunities that we have as women that they didn't have back in the day, like curbside, you know, fully prepped meals. A lot of people do stuff like Home Chef, you know, where it literally comes in a bag. Like, here's everything you need to do to have a nice home cooked meal. You know, we have ovens, we have refrigerators, we have all of these, like you were saying, like servants in a way.
Yeah, they're like electronic servants. I mean, hello, like Costco, anybody? I mean, she was not able to run to Costco and grab a quick loaf of sourdough. It was all from scratch, every vegetable.
Yeah.
I'm sure they had a market where they could go get things, but not to the extent that we're able to today.
So the point of it, though, is that like she's looking well to the ways of her household with the opportunities, with what she had around. We are all going to have different budgets. We're going to have different opportunities. You might be like, yeah, I can do those meals where they're like delivery, just pop them in, you know, the oven and it's a beautiful home-cooked meal. You know, I know some people where they have like a friend who runs a business out of her home where she basically prepares meals and you can buy them from her and then you just pop it in the oven and you have an amazing home-cooked meal. All of our budgets, all of our life circumstances are going to look different. The whole point is that you are looking well to the ways of your household. You are taking care of the nourishment and the care of your family, like physically with the food that they eat. And that's something that has like become a much bigger priority to me over the past few years, is understanding my own health, understanding how to nourish my body well. And my desire to eat nourishing food has dramatically increased because I went like from being someone who had severe migraines for basically the first 33 years of my life. I'm 35 now, I think. And the older I get, the more I forget how old I am. And I worked with a nutritional therapist and she was amazing. Her name's Whitney.
I worked with the same one.
What is the name of her organization?
Restored Nutrition.
Restored Nutrition. And the, like shameless plug, she not sponsored. She's amazing. Restored Nutrition. Worked with Whitney. Completely changed my view of like health and how to eat whole nourishing foods. And for the first time in my life, like I still get migraines here and there, but they have decreased so much, and I have learned how to feed my body in a way that actually helps it for me specifically, like nourishes it. And so a huge part of me is like looking well to the ways of my household has been understanding like, wow, the food I feed them actually like actually like can change their life, you know, and can change their, the way they function. And so I know Dave has so appreciated that, especially now he's really into CrossFit and he needs a lot of really good food to build that muscle, a lot of protein. And so he has so appreciated like the good quality food that I make. And yeah, honestly, the truth is the more you cook at home, the more you can cook from like, you know, like the raw basics of what our, you know, earth, the way that God designed it grows, the less processed, the better it is for you. And that just takes more time and work. Mm-hmm. So for me personally, that's been a huge encouragement and a huge motivation is realizing just how much I can take care of my household in this way and really nourish them well. Another thing that I came across was the benefits of cooking for your family. And I actually was just like Googling this and came across some super interesting things. Like,
and okay, this is, I have to like say, this isn't even necessarily from a Christian perspective. Like, oh, a godly woman, like these are the benefits for you and your family. This is just like, out in the world, generically, like it is beneficial to cook for your family.
Totally. And I just was like, wow, this is, there are so many benefits. So if you have struggled to see the value, if you have struggled to be, you know, just like you were saying, it takes so much time, like taking care of your house, taking care of the food, taking care of children, like it genuinely is a full time job. People hire, you know, wealthy people hire full-time chefs, you know, and we think we can do all of it. And then we want, like, why didn't I do anything else today? Like, it's a wake-up call for me. Like, cooking, being a private chef for your family, it takes a lot of time. Being the full-time nanny, you know, it's like people hire out these positions in full-time capacities.
The full-time taxi driver. Yes. The full-time laundry, launderer.
It's a lot. And so don't, like, when you're like, wow, this takes so much time full-time and I can't even get it all done, like, it is a big job and view it that way. Like, this is a big responsibility and amazing. Okay, so what are some other benefits just to encourage you of cooking for your family and looking well to the way of your household in this way? Like I already said, you can eat healthier food. That is just the raw facts of it. If you can shop and you know, buy those foods, especially if you can even get them like local from like local farms and things like that, which I love, you can eat healthier food. Cooking encourages learning, not only for you, but your kids as they participate and as they work with you, they literally can learn more about like where food comes from, how to take care of their bodies, all of that. It creates healthier mealtimes. Absolutely. Cooking, if you do it together with your kids, it can strengthen family bonds. So it's literally a time where you can come together and bond as a family. You can save money. Absolutely. As compared to like eating out and stuff. And if you get really creative and meal prep, you can absolutely save money.
For sure.
It is going to, again, another one that I keep seeing is the family bonding over the meal times. As you work together to literally nourish your bodies and the stuff that you're cooking, it helps your children also appreciate where their food comes from when they are a part of the process. And I know that can be hard when you're like, I could do this so much faster if you were not here. But it really, they love it. For your kids, if you let them and include them in that, it improves their motor skills. Like, come on, you're giving, you know, them schooling while you're making the food. You can learn life lessons through cooking. Cooking expands creativity. It's mathematics with all of the budgeting. I mean, it goes on and on and on. So just even from a general worldly perspective, the benefits of cooking and then inviting family members to do it with you are endless. And that's not by accident. Like, God created us with an appetite. He created us to need, with this need to eat, to enjoy foods, all of the flavors and different herbs and just everything. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so I think the more we value it and the more we understand the benefit of it, I think the more as biblical women, we will say, this is worth the time. And that's honestly why we created the Biblical Womanhood Boot Camp. It's an entire private group of women who are passionate about understanding God's design for them as biblical women and learning to appreciate and value looking well to the ways of their household. So if you're someone, you're like, yes, I want to better understand how to live out biblical womanhood. I want to be a part of a community of women who are on fire for figuring out how to do this well, who can support each other and say, the laundry's out of control, but I want to love my family well. I want to look well to the ways of my household. Then join us in the Biblical Womanhood Bootcamp. It's an exclusive community through Girl Defined that we want to invite you to be a part of. You can go to girldefined.com/bootcamp. And I think you're going to find a lot of encouragement there.
So quick story, when we first adopted our boys from Ukraine, which has now been over 3 years.
It's crazy.
We just celebrated a couple days ago our 3-year anniversary as a family. So we call it Clark Day and we make it super special, just celebrating the adoption. But early on, my boys, they had never had experience with cooking or being in the kitchen because where they came from, that just wasn't a part of what they were able to do. And so I thought, you know, like, I really want to invite them into this, and not only the cooking aspect of it, but even the meal planning and prepping. And so we don't do this much anymore, but early on we did this a lot, and I would pull out a piece of paper and I would get all of my favorite recipes, a lot of them from Restored Nutrition actually. Yes. And I would pull it up on my computer or my iPad or whatever. And then we would sit down and I would say that they could each pick three meals. Like if I'm going to plan six meals, whatever, yeah. they would each pick half. And it was so sweet because they were so invested yeah. from the moment of actually picking the meals, and they would get excited seeing the pictures, and they would each pick their meal. And as they would pick them, I'd say, okay. And I would start adding things to the grocery list. And then they would come with me to Costco, which was very helpful because our oldest Caleb would push the basket the entire time. That was like his little manly responsibility. And to this day, he still pushes it. And that's if I cute. Go without them, they're like, Mom, who's helping you push the basket? And I'm like, I had to push it myself. And they're like, oh, I mean, it's a haul. I mean, it is hard. I'm like, especially now they're even older. They're so helpful when I go grocery shopping.
I never even thought of them. Both yes, of my kids are sitting front in the thing. I'm just like, please don't pull anything off the,
like unload and load everything in the car. And when we get home, like they get this little wagon and bring it out and like load all the groceries and like take it back.
You're living a life of luxury over here. I'm trying to, my kids are like running into the street. I'm like, everyone stay inside while I unload Costco groceries.
Different seasons. So the sweet thing though, what you were saying, the family bonding, yes. I experienced that firsthand because early on in those days after the adoption, I was looking for special ways to bond with them, to connect with them, like to build that relationship as mother and children, like this new dynamic that for all of us, it was brand new. And so for them getting to be a part of that, it wasn't something forced. I invited them into it. Yeah. They were excited. But what I thought was so sweet is when they would actually when it came time for one of their meals, like I would say like, okay, Caleb, tonight we're making your meal, you know, the fish tacos or whatever. He would get so excited, and he, like, they both learned how to do so much in the kitchen as a result of this season of them doing most of the cooking with me. And yes, it took extra time. I could have done it way faster. There were parts of me where I was like, after a long day of homeschooling, like I kind of just want them to go play, and I want to pop in a podcast and just like cook and relax. But I knew, I was like, I see the benefit for this season. This is such a precious thing. And they would cook the whole meal from beginning to end, make every part of it with me. And then the sweetest, cutest part is when Zach would come home, you know, we'd all sit down and they would say, oh, Papa, I made this meal. And they were so proud. And you know, Zach would go over the top with his compliments, you know, hopefully it was tasty, but he would sweetly go over the top, and they just took so much pride in that. And now it's actually, I'm getting benefits as a result because they learned so much about cooking that Caleb can actually make our entire breakfast now.
That's like, great.
He can do full blown like egg sandwiches, omelets, you know, cut up fruit, like whatever's needed. He's actually really helpful as a result. And he's 13 now. Back when we first adopted him, he was 10. But like, if you might think, and I know your kids are littler, so it's like they're what, four years old. So those of you who have little kids might be like, I don't even know. Like, I can't just give my kid like a huge knife. There are ways you can incorporate
for,
them.
Oh, for sure.
And it might not be beginning to end the whole thing. It might be one piece of the meal, or hey, come help me stir this thing.
For sure.
Or you put a little apron on them and they're just kind of up on the chair with you watching and doing little things. Here and there. It's amazing how much they love it. Yeah. But I think we as the moms are often, we, like I said,
hesitant,
where it's like extra work. We don't want to, but just seeing the benefits of my own family, and it sounds like you've done some
of
that
for
too,
sure. Yeah.
It is worth it. And even if it's like not every night, if it's a couple nights a week, if it's like one night a week, I mean, inviting them into that, I agree. Like there is a lot of benefit when it comes to the family bonding.
I agree. And it's just, even with little kids, it's hard, but like Davey, he's four. He loves to help, loves to be a part of it. So finding those ways, it definitely can contribute to family bonding. I came across this quote from Focus on the Family. And it was an article, well, the quote was within this article called The Benefits of Family Mealtimes and How to Make Them Happen. And I will say right off the bat, this has been, family mealtimes have been a little bit of a struggle for us because my kids go to bed early, they're young, and oftentimes it's like, okay, Dave's getting home from CrossFit, like I mentioned, and then we're kind of like trying to feed the kids, get them to bed, and sometimes I don't, like Dave and I, we don't have time to like sit down and eat too. So I would say that family breakfasts are like probably one of our most consistent meals together. And we're trying to get better and better about making dinners more of a priority. So like in different seasons of life, I 100% like get that the sit down family meal times, especially when you have like a 1-year-old or a 4-year-old and their capacity to sit there isn't as long. But I have found prioritizing that and trying to build that is super important. And as my oldest gets older, I found that to be a little bit easier. But this article just had some beautiful stuff to say about the benefits of sitting down together. And again, we see as Christians, of course there are benefits, Christian or non, but as Christian women striving to live out biblical womanhood, how encouraging is this? So the article said, meals are a time for socializing, conversation, sharing, and celebration. Family meals can be powerful events in the lives of both children and adults. They can and should be an occasion for sharing the day's events, decompressing, commiserating, and encouraging one another. They're a time to laugh, learn how to speak and listen politely, instill values, establish one's identity as a member of the family, welcome guests, and acknowledge God's provision on a day-to-day basis. I mean, that is packed with the beauty of family mealtimes. Yeah. And here's the deal. Like, there are so many benefits to sitting down together, whether it's a breakfast, whether it's a dinner, just finding a time during the day where you can sit down together as a family and share around the dinner table. All of these benefits of laughing together, kids learning from their parents, hosting people, having that hospitality. It's so, so incredibly beautiful. And especially when you have, you know, people over, just think about it. It's like, it's always around a meal when you go out, like with, you know, another couple, or you're going out with your friends, like a whole singles group. We're always like, what are we going to eat? Where are we going to go? There's something so beautiful and so, like, God designed about the meal and that really bringing people together. Some of the best conversations of my life have been around, like, a meal and a discussion. And, you know, even when the kids go to bed and Dave and I have a meal after they're already in bed, those are sometimes where we're having, like, the most amazing discussions. I mean, Dave and I have even said, like, okay, if we're going to have, like, a hard conversation or something, like, let's go out to dinner, let's enjoy a good meal, and then let's discuss it after. It's like a good meal can just completely, like, change everything.
Attitudes and emotions do a lot better when you're fully satisfied.
So I just want to encourage you, as you are thinking about the priority of mealtime, and if you have kids that are, you know, a little bit older, or you're single and you're thinking about what you want to, the kind of life you want to have, like, not even overwhelming your schedule with so many things to where you can't do this. I know there's, like, every sport, extracurricular activity, all this pressure to be the woman who says yes and helps with everything. But it takes time to sit down and have a meal. And for all of those things I just shared to happen, and know that that is extremely valuable and nothing else can replace that. So if you're like, that's going to take 2 hours out of my day, like, that is a benefit. There's so much learning and bonding that goes into that time.
And it's something to hold, I think, with a, like, with open hands, that it's not going to always be perfect. Like, for our family, our kids are older. So currently 13 and 9, going on 14 and 10. Oh my goodness, they're getting so old. And so for our boys, like, they are in all the sports. Like, we love that for them. I love sports. Zach loves sports. We love all the character learning and just, like, team building and, like, listening to their coach and doing hard things and not giving up. Like, we love all that sports has to offer, but we do have to be careful and mindful about how much we commit to, specifically in the evenings, because family dinners are something that we prioritize. And when I look out at our schedule, Zach and I will review our schedule every Sunday for the whole week. Look, okay, what do we have this night, that night? And if we realize, like, oh man, there are too many things, we will even just sometimes call an audible and be like, we're not going to do that thing.
Call an audible.
That one night. And that just happened this past week. There was something that I could have been a part of, but we had something more nights than normal. And that was going to keep us from being together as, you know, having family dinners. And so we just decided, like, that's got to go. It's a great thing, but this week it's got to go. And you just have to make those calls.
I totally agree with that.
So we don't have a family dinner every single night. But I would say the majority, you know, maybe a couple nights we don't, because there's, like, a late night sports practice, or our kids do the Awana program. So we do an early dinner with them, and then Zach and I go off and that's our date night, which has worked out really great. You know, if we have small group on one night with our church, we'll do a quicker family dinner right before we go. Just with Zach getting home from work. So it's not like it's these perfect 2 hour sit downs every time, but we prioritize it and we strive for it. And we all sit down, we have family dinner together. Our boys actually love, and they're old enough where they can really appreciate this, those little question boxes.
Yes. I love it. Table topics.
Table topics. Mm-hmm. They love doing that. If I pull out the table topics, they are so engaged in the conversation and they just find it so fun talking about all these random things. And then another thing that we incorporate into our family dinners when we all sit down together that we were struggling to kind of figure out, like, when do we get this in, is doing a family devotional together. Our mornings are a little bit different than yours. We don't really sit down and have a full family breakfast like that hardly ever happens just with the homeschool schedule and Zach's work. And so dinners are more what we focus on in our season of life. But we started incorporating Zach leading just a really short Bible study at the end of the meal. We have one son who's a very slow eater. So as we're all sitting there finished and he's still eating, we wait until he's done. But we're like, let's fill that time with something valuable.
Yeah, that's good.
Instead of all just staring at him for like 20 minutes while he finishes. So Zach will pull out this really fun like kids devotional that we got. And he'll just like lead us in a devotional. And the boys love it. And so it adds even more value and like family bonding and relational connection at our mealtimes. And again, it's something we don't do every single night, but we strive to prioritize it. And we have seen this be a huge value in our family. Yeah.
Another thing on top of that would be like the whole hospitality aspect of that and including your kids with that. Or if you are single or if you are married without kids, no matter the size of your apartment, no matter the size of your house, showing hospitality in simple ways. You're like, maybe you're like, our budget can't afford that. You don't have to provide a whole meal. You can do potluck style and have people bring things. But having a home and a heart of hospitality, like we've talked about, so much happens around a meal. When Dave and I first got married, we lived in a studio garage apartment, and it's actually like, it was super adorable. I actually loved it. But it was, you know, a studio apartment, literally above a garage, and somebody else's house was like right there and we rented it. And so you go up the stairs above the garage and it's like, there's a bathroom and then the kitchen and the bedroom and the living room. It's all one, you know? And I remember when we lived in that apartment, I wanted to have a bunch of friends over and do like a brunch. And I was like, well, you just, you know, like it's really small. Everyone's like, the bed is part of the seating, you know, you just gotta be. And I could have been like ashamed, like, I don't have the space, you know, what am I gonna do? But I was like, you know, when I go to someone's house, I literally could care less how fancy, how big, like I do not care at all. It's the people. That's what it's about. And so I remember like a bunch of ladies came. I don't know if you were.
I was.
Yeah.
I feel like you were hosting it for someone's birthday. Maybe.
I can't remember why.
Yeah. But it was really sweet.
And everyone brought stuff. So everyone brought a brunch item and we had an amazing time. And I was just like re-inspired with that. Yeah. Like you can host, you can show hospitality no matter what season of life you're in. And I will say like with your boys, something super cool that y'all do, Kristen and Zach are great at hosting and having people over, and they've like built up their back patio and like done a bunch of things to make like hosting part of it. But I love how you always, you have really taught your boys, you know, their ages. How old are they now?
Yeah. 13 and 9.
13 and 9 to be a part of that hospitality. Mm-hmm. So whenever we come over, they're always coming around like, oh, would you like a drink? Or can I take the trash for you? And it's a great way to teach your kids how to think of others and how to create an environment that is welcoming and inviting and not just always like all about us. Yes. And so I love that even at a young age, through hospitality, you can teach your kids to be thoughtful of others.
There is so much more we could say around mealtime.
I know.
I didn't even realize we would have so much. So much to talk about. You mentioned, okay, one last thing for the single woman specifically, you mentioned like if you live in a small place, but even for the single woman who you're like, this conversation feels so irrelevant to me. Like I'm not sitting down having like family dinners or, you know, like family devotionals. Like it's just me. I'm living in an apartment by myself or with one other roommate. Like how does this even make sense for me? But it still does, because even though Proverbs 31, yes, it is geared toward the excellent wife who's a married woman, obviously with children and her looking well to the ways of her household. These are habits and practices that God wants us to start leaning toward and applying even in our singleness. And I remember back in the day, some friends, examples of women who were single, living in an apartment, either by themselves or with a roommate, very intentionally also practice this.
Yes.
This, like the value of inviting people into your home and gathering around meals to build relationships, to build friendships, to encourage one another, just like you did in your early married days in your apartment. It is something you as a single woman can put into practice and start doing now. And just imagine how much easier that transition will be if you already have this mindset of like nourishing foods for your body, like valuing meal prep and planning and cooking, inviting people into your home to enjoy that with you. Imagine the transition into marriage one day, if that's what God has for you. And then if he has children for you one day, like your mindset will already be so much more in tune with God's heart and what he values than if you were just like, I don't even care about that. I'll think about that one day when I'm married.
Well, and I wanted to point out, I'm trying to find her handle. We said some of our sisters really love this, you know, and like naturally have a passion for it. So our younger sister, Rebecca, who has been married like a year year or so. She actually runs an Instagram account called, it was called The Well-Nourished Woman for a long time. And she helps women like in all of these areas super practically. So if you're like, I need a young woman who I can get inspired by, Rebecca is a great example. Her Instagram handle is at The Rebecca Gill. So I just think since neither of our Instagram accounts are going to be like, we're not really like that influencery type, but our sister Rebecca does a great job of that and is super intentional to show you, like she does, she's on a tight budget and she shows you how to like eat very nourishing meals on a budget. So I think for single or married, going and following at The Rebecca Gill would be a good find.
Okay, guys, come hang out with us over on Instagram at Girl Defined, where we are going to be talking about all things cooking, meal planning, prepping. Like, ask your questions, leave your thoughts. If there's something that you have found really valuable within your home, within your family, in your singleness, and how you are putting this into practice, come share it with us. If you're like, I've got more questions than I came into this conversation with and I need some answers, come hang out with us and ask those questions too. We would love to continue this conversation because it matters. Looking well to the ways of our household, whether we're single, married, have kids or don't, it matters to God because it is a way we can serve others, a way we can glorify Him, a way we can cultivate relationships, we can pursue hospitality. There's just so much beauty packed into this. So it is something absolutely that we should care about as women, that we should value. It's a testimony for the gospel as well of us as women pursuing faithfulness and excellence in this area, not perfection. You know, last night we had to grab Chick-fil-A because I actually forgot to meal plan for that night and we had nothing. And Zach's like, just grab Chick-fil-A. And it's okay. There are those nights. It's not perfection, but it's desiring to grow in this, for to be faithful to the Lord, to serve your family. And it's going to look a little different for each one of us, but it is something beautiful that we should all be prioritizing. Okay, we love you guys. Come join us next week for another episode of The Girl Defined Show.